Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. This would not be a normal Steve Meese sermon tonight, but I really feel like it's a sermon that's needed tonight. It's probably going to be a sermon you're going to have to go home and listen to again, because you're going to be like, I didn't get that, but I want you to get it. In my Tuesday night Bible classes with my Belizean pastors, we've been studying the book of Daniel. Once we got to the 8th chapter of Daniel, Daniel began to get these dreams about the future coming. A lot of the future that Daniel was hearing about is past for you and I. But there was always one little piece of the pie that wasn't past for you and I. And it was talking about a world leader who would come one day and set up a kingdom upon this earth and try to do away with God and do his own work. Now, every time Daniel got that prophecy, he also got one more. It ended with the last king. That last king would be the king that would live forever and rule forever, which was Jesus Christ. Amen. So my studies this week, because of that, brought me to 2 Thessalonians because some things I'd read with them. And I got to reading about Paul. And Paul wrote a letter to the 1 Thessalonians to these Christians there. He wrote this letter because they were in persecution and they were afraid that this was the end time persecution. They thought this was the time of the Antichrist and the end of the world and all of that. And Jesus, or Paul, reminded them that this is not that time, and you're going to be saved from that time. I love that part. And he gave them that fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. That we read at every funeral. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Y'all know it, right? And we which are alive and remain, what? Shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, he had to write them another letter. Second letter. 2 Thessalonians. And they're tore up again. Because some things look like we're in the end. Now, let me say this before I start tonight. The last day stuff shouldn't upset you. It should excite you. Because it lets us know the coming of Jesus is at hand. Everything we put our faith and trust in, the one we've leaned on, the one we prayed to, is about to come and get us. And I'm good with that. But there are some reasons why we need to be reminded that we're not all the way there yet. Because there's people that are lost and they need Jesus. And Paul writes in this letter to the Thessalonians an important phrase that's going to take me 15 minutes to get to it and 5 to share it. But you got to let me get to it first, all right? But that phrase is going to happen about verse 10 and 11. So you can go ahead and peep at it, but go back to verse 1, all right? There's some things that's happening right now today in our society, in our world, that are really getting things ready, wrapping it up, so to speak, for this end. And one of them is the war that's going on in Israel now. I was reading today, this was a letter from yesterday, but one of the things on the table right now, trying to make a peace treaty with the Palestinians and the Jews, is the Temple Mount. The That's the bargaining chip. If we throw in the Temple Mount to you Jews, are you willing to back off over here? Because we know the Temple Mount is where something's going to be built. It's called the Temple. Now, I know all of you YouTubers already know about the red heifer. They've been getting ready, and everybody's all pumped up about that. Let's just do some facts for a second. Every item of the temple, except the Ark of the Covenant, is being played with already today. What I mean by played with is they're going through samples and teaching priests how everything works. The altars, the laver, the table of showbread, they're doing everything like they were trained to do in the Old Testament. They're already training these new guys how this stuff works, but they don't have a temple yet. The cornerstone of the temple is sitting in Jerusalem right now on a tractor and trailer. And if you read Scripture, the temple was not built on site. It was built off site and moved piece by piece on site and put together. They're working hard on the temple today. The problem is, Brother Greg, they don't have land to put it on. And they only want one piece of land. And it's being occupied by the Muslims today. But part of the peace treaty they're working on, trying to get a ceasefire over there right now, is seeing if we could get this piece of land, if we could share that land, would that help the trade? I'm going to say this. It'll probably go a long way. But there's other things that's happening today. Now, I thought when I was writing this, see, I wrote notes tonight. This is what I'm telling you, this is not a normal Steve sermon. And I thought about, there'll be people walk out on you tonight when you get about point three. I hope not. I hope you'll ride through it. But I want you to see tonight that while we're sleeping, the world's going on. And the Lord's timing is continuing. And at any given time, we're going to be in it. And I want you to know what we're going to get to in verse 10 and 11 should be the big deal for you tonight. So, let's read verse 1 and go a while, and then we'll talk a little bit. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. He talks about two things. Now, I'm not going to debate with anybody tonight over the last days, okay? I will say this. We're within 7 years of each other. Some of us are. All right? We're within 7 years of each other. I'm not going to fight with that. But there's definitely two comings of Jesus. And He mentioned it in verse 1. There's a coming for saints, and there's a coming with His saints. I plan to be part of both. He's coming for me because I'm ready. And I'm coming back with Him because I'm part of His local church. Amen? Amen? So, verse 1's good for me. He tells them, don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. See what had happened is some people were writing letters, Martha, on behalf of Paul. And when Paul said, hey, I didn't write that letter. You ever been accused of saying something or sending a text? He said, I didn't send that text. Paul says, I didn't send that letter. And I don't want you to be shaken in mind or shaken in spirit concerning something that you've heard. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Can we talk about that for a second? A falling away is talking about lawlessness, right? I think that's twofold, Brother Darrell. I think number one, when God's people decide not to live by God's word, I think we're there. I think in my 42 years of ministry that I've seen us back away from things that we wouldn't have backed away from 42 years ago. It was wrong 42 years ago, but because they've changed names on that particular sin, we let it go now. I told you, you're not going to like nothing. Stay with me. Don't walk out. But there's also another part of that falling away. And I think it's a bigger picture. Society. Is there a lawlessness about society today? We decided we don't like those laws. We'll make our own laws. Isn't that what society does today? We change it because we feel like it should be changed. And what Paul is writing, he says, before this end time comes that you're so scared about, he said, let me tell you something. There's going to be a falling away from God's people, from the Word of God, and there's going to be a falling away from society. And I tell you, I think we're in that. That's why churches are not full anymore. Come on. That's why churches are closing. That's why there's not a lot of young men straining to preach, JT. When I went through Bible college, there was 14 or 15 with me. JT's, there's four. Check all Bible colleges and tell me if you won't find the same answer. I talked with Brother Dennis when Brother Greg was having his surgery. They're all down because nobody's answering that call. You think God's still calling? But you know what? Why would you want that job? Right? Because it's not a job. It's a calling. And when people start making the ministry a job, then that's a bigger problem too. This is not on, Calvin. Amen. I'm going to help you all. Keep reading. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So these things are going to happen. And then the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is going to be revealed for who he is. Now watch. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I wanted to give you an illustration from my class last night, but you look like I would lose you about halfway. Could you stay awake for 5 minutes through a story? All right. Somewhere about 150 before Christ, we're between Malachi and Matthew. They rose a leader of the Greeks named Antiochus Epiphanes. Y'all need to study this guy. This guy got defeated by Rome. But instead of just setting down, he stopped by Israel, stopped by Jerusalem, and he killed 80,000 Jews. He captured 80,000 and kept them as slaves, and he sold another 80,000. Then he stopped them from worshiping in the temple and stopped sacrifices. Then he walked into that temple and he tore down the altar and he set up a new altar. And in the middle of the temple, he put a statue of Zeus. Anybody know what he did next? No, JT, you can't say it. Anybody know what he did next? No, you were listening last night, you can't say it. He killed a pig and sacrificed it and made the priest eat it with him. Now, let me tell you what he was. He was an antichrist. But he wasn't the antichrist. Because it's clear here, Betty, why he wasn't. Because this antichrist sets up not another god. He sets himself up and says what? I'm God. See the difference? But history does repeat itself. And so this Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to make himself God. Now, commercial break. Why did Satan get kicked out of heaven? He wanted to be like God. Do you know that everything, I shared this with class Monday, everything that God does, Satan mimics. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Satan or Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the beast. Y'all with me? That's the job of the Antichrist. You say, well, preacher, has nothing to do with us. Hang on. Watch this. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now, just for fun, raising hands, how many's heard so far in your lifetime about a coming Antichrist who is going to take over and set up in the temple? Raise your hand. There you go. So Paul says, haven't I already told you this stuff before? Watch 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Watch close. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Circle that verse. Go home and meditate upon it. But let me tell you what it says. It tells you, as long as the Holy Spirit is running the show, the Antichrist ain't doing nothing. But there's coming a day when he is going to be held back and the Antichrist is going to be turned loose. Now, I'm a guy that believes that the church was already here before we got to Acts chapter 2. I love to pastor a church that believed just like that. I think I do. Right? I'm at the right place then. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave that local church extra power. See, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in right here. Everybody okay with that? I didn't get it 3 days later. I didn't get it a week later. I didn't get baptized at a special time with it. I got it the moment I got saved. It was part of my salvation experience. I was born from above. And he moved in. Took up residence that first day. But when I became part of a local church, that local church also possesses, Brother Paul, a special amount of spirit that only a local church can have. A true local church. Can I go there? Not just the building with the steeple, but I'm talking about the real deal. So far, so good. There's coming a time that God's going to pull that away. And that's when the Antichrist really ramps his life up. Now, we're almost there. Stay with me. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. This Antichrist is going to be a powerful individual. You think about the world mess you're in right now. Economy, social, hatred in the Middle East. You do understand that everything we're talking about happens in Israel. It doesn't happen in Texas or Tennessee. It's going to happen in Israel. Where everything's a mess, that's where it all goes down. It's going to take a special person to make peace there. Everybody okay so far? See, I told you 15 minutes to get me here. I'm working on it. Watch this. Verse 10, the message. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So there's going to be a group of people who didn't believe in Jesus when they had the chance to believe in Jesus. And we're about to talk about them people. And that's the whole reason for this message tonight. It's not about an Antichrist. It's not about a rapture or a second coming. It's about what happens in the verse number 11. And that's why you and I are still here today, and why you and I need to pay close attention to what he's talking about. For this cause, I underline this phrase because to me, this might be one of the harder phrases to read in the Bible. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Can I ask a question? What is strong delusion? What is delusion? Make it simple for us. What's delusion? Delusion is believing a lie. That's what delusion is. He doesn't just say delusion, Marilyn. He says strong delusion. Strong delusion. Who causes the people to believe a lie? Thank you, JT. See, I'm telling you, Patrick, this is hard to read. God shall send them strong delusion. Can I remind you something about Genesis chapter 6? See, Jesus told us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. He said that, right? Jesus said that. Genesis 6, about verse 3 or 4. This is what the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You can tell God no, Mom, and tell Him no. And there's a line somewhere, Arnie, after so many no's, that God says, okay. Why would you bring that up? Because as a kid, Julia, this is how I felt sitting in church pew under conviction. I'm not sure I believe what the preacher's saying, but just in case that trumpet sounds and people start flying out, boom, I'm on my knees and I'm going to confess Jesus real quick, Brother Paul, and I'm going to get saved. Yep. I did. Thank you, Darryl. I thought it was the only nutcase in the building. No, I worked it all out. I worked it all out. But then I read this, and it tells me that the Spirit of God is not convicting me. I'm not going to want to do that. Then it tells me this, that I might believe a lie. You know, you and I wouldn't believe a lie. Would we? Would we believe a lie? People believe lies every day. Now, see, I've not got into the stuff when people are supposed to walk out yet. But I'm there now. So this is going to be interesting. Who's watching the door? I want to talk about how the world is playing into this strong delusion. You okay with that? Do you know Satan's number one attempt, Satan's number one goal is to overthrow God? Does everybody agree with that? That's Satan's number one goal. I want to overthrow God. So how am I going to do that? He looks through Scripture. He's tried everything in the world to overthrow God. Has it ever worked? It never has. Nor will it ever will. But during the process, people get deceived. And whether you get this or not, you will on the way home. The devil wins when people are deceived. because they don't get saved. If they don't get saved, they go to hell. There's not a middle ground. There's heaven, hell, that's it. That's the choices we got. But our world seems like they're being deceived in a lot of ways. So, as I studied and read, I found three things that really bother me. I'm not a guy that really spends a lot of time online. I'm just not that guy. I have a hard time making the machine even work like it's supposed to. But I'm amazed at what's happening in my lifetime. Artificial intelligence. You've heard that before? Artificial intelligence? Mama said, what is that? Here's what it is, Mama. It's going to blow you away like it did me. Artificial intelligence is this, that computers are learning to learn. You hear me? A computer right now can play chess with you. Cars can park themselves. Cars, Brother Joe, can go from point A to point B without you driving. No, they can't. We got a guy in the church that's got a car that will do that. He's not sitting there right now, but he sits there on Sunday. And the car he drives is connected to every car that's made by that company. So when that car goes down the road and it makes a left-hand turn, it tells every car that if they ever go down that road and they make a left-hand turn, right here's where you make the left-hand turn. Isn't that cool? That's cool stuff. Now, when I'm texting and now on my phone, because I upgraded now, my text, Martha, is thinking ahead of me. I'm like, what's it doing? How did it know I was going to say that? Artificial intelligence. Lona's like, so big deal. It makes your life easier. You know what it's done? It's making our brains lazy. You and I used to have to think to work out a problem. Now this machine will work out the problem for us. Yeah, I know some of you are like, this is crazy stuff, preacher. It's deeper than I could even talk to you about. But I'm telling you, our society is getting brain lazy. Now, Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable servant. Anybody finish it? Be not conformed to this world. Be ye. How? Yeah. But if you don't use your mind, Lona, something else uses it for you. So, when you're out with your kids and they're being disruptive, you throw the phone down, watch that. Now they interact with games. If you go to flight school now, you sit in a fake cockpit simulator, there you go, and you drive that thing and it gives you all the scenarios and knows how you're going to react, so it reacts the other way. Artificial intelligence. Hey, that's not in our day and time, but boy, it's growing fast. Bank account, I tell Brother Greg I need something out of the mission account. He grabs his phone, flips it up, does that, money moves from there to there. I don't even have to go see Arnie. Or Marilyn. I'm at the heart doctor yesterday. I got an electric fence last week, kind of messed some things up. And he said, let me have your phone. He grabbed my phone, popped my app up, sent an EKG. I said, you're going to bring the machine in? No, don't have to do that. Now we got an app. And the app's on my phone. He pulled my phone up, hit the app, run an EKG over to him, checked it out. He said, you're back good now, preacher. You'll be fine. I said, I got a question for you, just curious. What if the wrong person got a hold of my app? Like sitting in the building tonight, and like he's gone long enough. Shut that down. He said, we've got security things in place. I'm like, yeah, you do. They break and hacking in the banks all the time, right? Look at Arnie. Jay. Arnie said, you're a goner, preacher. You and I are living in a crazy, crazy world. Artificial intelligence is like mind-boggling. Here's the best test of all. What's your phone number loan to growing up when you lived at Dub and Ida's house?
548.
In Lincoln County, it was 34626. There you go. Jason, when you lived in Pennsylvania, you remember a phone number?
758-6058.
Hear that. Now, what is Brian's number right now? No. Jason. Brian's number. Jason. You know, I don't have to memorize numbers no more. Come on. 5 years old, living in Indianapolis, Indiana. 241-5673. I lived on Panama Avenue. Because you had to know that stuff, Brittany. But now I don't have to know that stuff because my phone... it's got a context in it, and I just got to look for the name and click on the name. Or I got Siri, and I could say, Siri, call Patrick. Then I got to be specific because I got two Patricks now. And the wrong Patrick answers like, what'd you call me for? Nothing, sorry. How you doing anyway? And at home, we got our ovens and our stoves. While we're at church, we can set it before we get home. It starts cooking. We can turn it off. Our refrigerators are on Wi-Fi. Why in the world does my refrigerator need Wi-Fi? I don't know. You say, preacher, this has nothing to do with the end times. It does. I'm telling you, the way society is today, the Antichrist is going to have not a problem in the world of banking, tracking. There's not a corner in this town that you could do something. There's not a camera watching. Y'all look shocked. I'm being truthful. That's point one. Point two, digital, physical, and biological are being combined into one. What do I mean by that? Well, how did I say this tactfully? All of a sudden, we're questioning what it means to be human. See, Psalms 100 verse 3 says, God, it's God that made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. Your mom and dad didn't come up with you. God did. God created you male and female. We got Supreme Court people who don't know how to determine what a woman is. I listened to the interview, and the lady said, I'm not a biologist. And I'm like, I don't have to be a biologist to tell you what a woman is. I had some buddies that had books, and they showed me in like fourth grade, okay? Just spilling some guts today. And I had a granny who took me out to the barn and showed me stuff and said, son, And I looked, Greg and I have no trouble today when the baby hits the ground if it's a boy or girl. But our society is getting it all mixed up. Let me tell you how far. That animals are our brothers and sisters. That was a song in the 70s, I think. The albatross and the whales, they are my brother. Whew. We've gone crazy. God made man to have dominion over the animals and the land. Everybody's worried about me leaving a footprint. I plan on it. I'd love to leave my mark on this world. Jesus left his mark. And he told his church to leave the mark. We need to be doing that. But you understand what I'm saying? Because we're thinking different now, we're changing the rules a little bit, all of a sudden we decide who's what. Well, probably should leave that alone, right? We've got a new bill that's been passed. And it deals with the colleges. It's called Title IX. This should be about the time somebody goes. Title IX says, if you're a state-funded college, that a boy who identifies as a girl can participate in girl sports. That's not a problem in this room. I got three girls. I'd have had a problem if some boy thought he was going to be on the team. But you understand when I said state funded? If the schools don't go along with it, they lose their funding. And we got people in here who can tell you what happens to that school if they lose their funding. Can you see how our society is starting to groom itself to get ready for this new leader who's going to change the image of God? I can see it. I was reading on, and I was at the doctor's office, and that's my chance to get to watch the news because I don't have news at home. And I was amazed at something, John. On the college campus, there were college students yelling discriminating things against the Jews. And for a minute, I thought I was in Germany and Hitler was in charge. And the schools were letting it go. They got like camp set out on the campus. And all I could think was, if I had a cat dozer, I'd come through about like that. I did see before I got off that Indiana, one of the Indiana universities went in with the police and said, we're not having none of that. You can't tell me that that's okay. All of a sudden, the world in which I live don't understand who Israel is. If my neighbor moved his fence 10 foot, Brother Paul, tomorrow, I'm moving it back. If he moved it again, I'm getting dad. Because he likes to fight. You may think he can fight. He can fight like a wildcat. And we're probably going to get the heavy hitter with us, Darrell Isaacs. Because my guy's already gone. And I'm going to let him know my deed says this is my line. All I got to do is grab this King James Bible and I can show you what Israel says is theirs. It's not debatable. There's no way in the world that you and I have a right to tell them they can't have their land back. But all of a sudden, they're like the monsters of the world. You do understand these Muslims hate Jews, right? You do understand that. Y'all not if you understand that. And what our society, which has scared me to death, is saying that we're on the wrong side. I'm going to give y'all a heads up, okay? If we change sides, Brother Paul, Steve and Rochelle are moving. I'm not going to live in a country that's against Israel. Now, see, I done said that online. I shouldn't say stuff like that. But that's a key point to me. Because there's too many promises what God had said He would do to those who went with them and those who went against them. I'm for them. You all for them? So preacher, why are you telling us all of this? I just want you to know, like Paul was trying to say, the end's not here yet, but boy, it's starting to smell like it. It's getting done. And let me tell you the most important part. Did you catch this? And I'm done. Verse 11. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should what? That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Before you get mad and want to pick a side and say you're getting political, I'm not getting political. I'm just saying we're going way out of bounds all of a sudden. And we need to reel her back in. But don't you forget one important thing. While these kids are learning about not a God, and these kids are wondering if they're a cat or a dog, or I seen the other day somebody changed themselves to a season. I don't even know where people's thinking's coming from. But let me say this. Now, I'm being serious, okay? Because they believe a lie, they're not believing the truth. And without the truth, they go to hell. I am an evangelist to the hilt. And I'd rather preach evangelism than prophecy any day. But I'm telling you, they do go hand in hand sometimes. And in this passage of Scripture, they are first cousins. We are close to the end time, and because of that, we better be getting the truth out to people so they don't fall for a lie. Because when you say no to God, you may not get another chance. And when you say no, JT, that just opens the door for a lie to go in, Brother Paul. And we're living in that time. I see it week after week. People sit in this building under conviction. They walk out and you say, well, preacher, maybe next week. You're not knowing what I'm worried about. I'm worried what they're being told all week long before the next Sunday. Because it just takes a little lie to grow in their mind. And next thing you know, maybe I was predestined to be like that. Come on, amen me. You see how just a little bit changes real quick? Amen. Say no to this, you start listening to that. Folks, we're in like the most dangerous times we've ever lived. But I know what's next. And the only thing that bothers me is I've got a cousin who I've talked to and my dad has talked to. And to this day, she's never confessed Jesus as her Savior. Sweet as pie. But you know what? The more she says no, and the more she watches and listens to junk, probably the less likely. And maybe that's why John said it this way when he quit his book in Revelation. Even so, Paul. Because when it happens, there's going to be some people. They're out. Even so. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Father, Lord, I pray tonight that where I wasn't clear, Your Spirit will make it clear. The church at Thessalonica was nervous and worried where they was in history. And Paul wrote them a letter, reminding them of some things. But Lord, I look 2,000 years after Paul's wrote that letter, and I feel like we might be right there. Lord, things are changing so fast. Technology and society and people's way of thinking. Lord, I would pray that somehow, some way, you would stir us up. You say, we're just a little church. We can't make a difference. Your word can make all the difference in somebody's life tomorrow. So Lord, help us to be faithful with that. Not thinking maybe about the masses of the world, but think about the ones or the twos that we know, who we might talk to and share with them the truth, so they're not fooled by some lie. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit, who I have felt here tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.